The crash occurred between Gasgano and Zanalis, who had been closely tailing Anakin and Hakula. Anakin did not look back to make sure that no one was hurt. He was too busy trying to bypass the steering mechanism. He was controlling the pod racer through the engines now, just managing to keep it on course. Hecula had zoomed ahead. A crowd of spectators stood in a corner ahead, right after a sharp curve. Anakin saw clearly that he could not control the pod racer on that turn. There was only one thing to do. He shut off the nav computer to send the energy to the engines. He would have to rely on the Force. Immediately, the steering hummed with power again. He pushed the engines and in a burst of speed made the turn and cut Hecula off. He was in the lead again. Slowing his speed just a fraction, he glanced in his rearview mirror. Hecula was going to attempt to pass him. Anakin would allow him to do so. He'd need to follow Hecula now. He had to let Hecula guide him to the finish line, then find a way to get ahead. His first objective was to protect the spectators, but Anakin had not forgotten for a moment that he meant to win. "I'm sure he is all right, but you might as well go to the finish line," Siri said. "I'll stay with Vista." "Bring him to the ruling power," Obi-Wan said. Obi-Wan hurried out of the stadium. Astri was waiting outside, her eyes searching the crowd anxiously. She handed him a small view screen. Obi-Wan could see the three pod racers roaring through the streets of Eusebius. "They're selling these on the streets," she said. "Anakin seemed to have trouble, but he's in second place now." Obi-Wan nodded, taking the view screen and jumping into the speeder. Obi-Wan took off. His comlink signaled and he answered it.
"I have information for you on those senators,"
Jocasta New said.
"They aren't on a committee together, but they have all taken the same position on the same issue. The Commerce Guild is proposing legislation that would give them control of banking practices in the Core Worlds. It is an enormously profitable contract."
"Do the senators oppose it?"
"Of course. It's a terrible idea to consolidate power that way. The vote will be close, but the list of senators you gave me have sworn to block it."
"Are the ruling power of Ysseron involved?"
"No, but don't you want to know who's a member of the Commerce Guild?"
"Maxo Vista?"
"Indeed,"
Jocasta New said, sounding disappointed that Obi-Wan had guessed.
"He was recently invited to join. Do you know who proposed his candidacy?"
"No, and I don't have time to guess."
"Liviani Sano."
Obi-Wan let out a breath. So his worst suspicions were true. The treachery had begun at the top. He ended the communication and concentrated on getting to the finish line as fast as he could. Obi-Wan was almost at the caves now. It was strange how he had pulled a thread and the plot had come undone. Dee Dee's bet had led to a web of treachery. It never failed to surprise him just a little how far beings would go to advance their interests, how much they would risk for an easy gain. Together, Liviani Sarno and Maxo Vista had wealth and prestige, yet it was not enough. And poor Arno Dering, just a petty criminal with nothing to lose except his life. Obi-Wan thought back on his few possessions, his neat quarters. Obi-Wan thought back on the two chronos set for morning. Dering must have been good at his job. He knew the importance of backup. He knew the importance of backup. Obi-Wan grabbed the screen and peered at it as he drove. Anakin was staying close to the rear of Hecula's pod racer. He tried to contact him on his comlink, but Anakin did not answer. "Answer it, Padawan. You know it is me." Obi-Wan contacted Rygol. "Something else is going to happen to Anakin's pod racer."
"The Force is still disturbed,"
Rygol agreed. "Where are the most spectators?"
"At the finish line. I am there."
"That's where it will happen. I'll be there soon." Obi-Wan pushed the engines to maximum. He remembered exactly where the cave entrance was and barely reduced speed as he crashed through the branches and slid into the tunnel. He halted the speeder in the pit hangar. He spotted Dobie and Deland.
"He's still second," Dobie fretted. "He's not going to win. And it looked like he almost crashed. I don't understand this."
"All we can do is wait," Deland said with a glance at his sister.
Rygol, True, and Ferris approached Obi-Wan.
"We can do nothing now," Rygol said.
Obi-Wan scanned the crowd. Each being was staring intently at a view screen.
there had to be someone who would activate the backup system by hand. One being sat alone. A plain brown robe swept down to the floor. A hood hid a face bent intently over a viewscreen. Then a hand moved to reach inside the robe toward a pocket. A data pad appeared. In that brief moment, Obi-Wan glimpsed a robe underneath the plain brown cloak. The color was brilliant scarlet, and the thick Vita cloth was embroidered with orange sept silk thread. Obi-Wan took off. He hurtled over some pit droids coiling a lubrication hose and avoided a disabled pod racer being wheeled into a transport. He knew even as he ran that he was too late. His throat constricted with pain. Liviani Sarno touched the screen on her data pad, then slipped it back into a pocket. She quickly rose and jumped to the floor, hurrying away from the stands. Obi-Wan strode forward and put his hand on Sarno's arm. She looked up at him, surprised and for a moment, frightened. "I'll take that data pad," he said.
"What are you doing?" Liviani hissed. "I'm here undercover. I'm observing. Go away."
"What did you just do?"
"Let me go!"
Liviani screamed, her eyes wide with fear. "It is up to you now, Anakin. I failed to stop her. I cannot help you. There is only the living force."